Jesus said in Matthew 28, verse 19, "Go therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost." Welcome to Go Teach All Nations, bringing you Christ's teachings through Australian and international speakers. And here is today's presenter, Pastor Anton van Wyk.
So I thought today I'll just give you a little glimpse of what Sabbath means to me. And then I wanted to do a short study from Mark chapter 11. And it may not be for everyone that study. It will be more for those who may have journeyed along with church and the Bible and God, but nothing has really changed much in your life. I know there are a number of people that feel that way. There's been no wow factor. And we're just faithful and we just hang in there and we just keep going. So if that's you, we'll do a little study from Mark chapter 11. So just again, Maligayang Sabadu to our Filipino folks. The Filipino people are lovely people. Amen? I've been to the capital city, Manila, and if you can survive the driving that they do, you are very good. It's crazy, man. It's crazy. So I know, Barry, we've been on motorbikes a little bit, but our roads are there. It's really like spaghetti. It's all over the place. So our focus from the islands, welcome. I can only say Manuia Sapati in Samoan. That's all I know. But I guess you guys are from Fiji and from Solomons, and God bless you as well as you worship with us. I was so happy this morning when I came in. Iron was telling me that he's going to be baptized. Amen. And he's studying so hard. And what I love is when he told me that he's praying for all the churches. He's praying for all the evangelistic work that's being done. He's praying for young people like Matthew and his sister and his new girlfriend and his mother. He's praying for Donald Trump and the government leaders. And I don't know what he prays for Donald, but he prays for him. So, you know, when that happens in someone's life, I call it the fruit, right? There's some evidence of something is happening. Something's boiling and simmering and bubbling up. And there's a big smile on his face, and he's very excited. So things are happening in Masterton area, in Wairarapa. Amen? Look at church today. Do you know there were times when we were 6, 7, 8 people in this church? And look what God's doing. And according to Voltaire and all those philosophers of the 1600s and the 17, the Bible should be dead by now and all churches should be closed by now. But here we're still going, singing the beautiful hymns and praising God. Amen? It's a triumphant message. It's going right through to the end. Isaiah 46, your words will go right to the end and they will not fail. Amen. So very briefly, to me the Sabbath, number one, by the way, Peter, you're looking good, man. Isn't he looking good, Peter? Blue shirt, 80 years old, looks like 50. Really doing well. For me, number one, Sabbath is a protest. You say protest, that doesn't quite sound right. But it's a protest against busyness. Amen? Have you noticed some of us are weird? On a Sabbath day, we don't really go doing business, and many of us don't work, and we don't even go shopping. We don't even watch the stuff we normally watch. Why? Because we're celebrating what He has done, His work. He's worked and we rest. He worked so that we can rest. So it's a protest. I'm protesting to the world against busyness that sucks my soul dry. So you read books like Nehemiah in the Bible, chapter 13. God is saying, well, stop everything and rest so that you will remember to look up. Amen. Number two for me, Sabbath, is when you think of a big painter, an artist like, say, Picasso, right? Or Van Gogh. What is special when they finish their paintings? What do they normally do? Did you know that a Picasso painting without the signature would be a fake and it will be worth $100? What would it be worth when it's got the signature? Millions, $3 million, $4 million. Van Gogh the same. So to me, the Bible story is that God created everything, and as the creation work progressed, it became more beautiful and more delicate and more intricate. Amen? It grew in its intensity. It became from water and earth and mud and separating the sky. It became beautiful and intricate and amazing. And then on the seventh day, it's God's signature. Look what I have made for you. Enjoy it. Celebrate it. I have created everything. So when I keep Sabbath, to me it's like saying, this is authentic because God signed it. And when the painter puts his brush down, he picks up another pen or a fine brush and he signs it. My work is now done. Can we add to it? Can you add to a Picasso? Can you sit with a Picasso and say, no, I don't like this, I'm going to... You can't, because it's perfectly good. And every Sabbath I say, thank you, God, for making it so beautiful. I also see in the Sabbath, I see like a big music piece. There's a rhythm. 1, 2, 3, 3, 4, 5, 6, 6, 7, 7, 7. So on the third day, there are two actions. On the sixth day, there's a double action. But you know, the seventh is repeated three times. On the seventh day, he rested. On the seventh day, it's a rhythm like Beethoven's Fifth Symphony. When he wrote that music, he finished the score. It's a completed rhythm. We cannot go and change the rhythm. And he worked it in with nature and the harvests and the agriculture. So there's a mighty rhythm of God working throughout creation. And can you change Beethoven's Fifth Symphony by writing your own score over it? You can't. You just say thank you. And so every week, and the Bible even talks about jubilees when every 7 years the land rests, and 7 times 7 the land rests. Amen. And then the 50th year, all the prisoners are set free, all the lands return to the original owners, and it's a mighty great celebration and a festival. So God has got a great rhythm of setting people free. And if you change the score and you change it to a Friday or another day and you mess with the rhythm, you are neutering the inherent blessing that is written into it. When you fiddle with it and change it, you change the score. And I want to give Beethoven all the glory and honor for what he's written. I don't want to fiddle with it because it's beautiful. Amen? So there you have a little bit. May it always be a blessing to you. May it always be a blessing. Okay? Any questions? No? Everyone's awake. That's good. So open your Bibles to Mark chapter 11. Let's do a little study. man, I hope I can keep the children and the young people with us. It's a bit of a different study. But if you can go to Mark, so it's Matthew, Mark, Luke, all right? So we're going to go to the Gospel of Mark. And I hope this will be significant for you. Go to verse 12, and we might get someone with a good voice to read for us a little bit. Matthew, if you guys have it there, I'll let everyone just get it. So Jesus has been in Jerusalem, and now they're making their way to a little town called Bethany. Amen? Tell me, have you ever been disappointed? Remember, girls, that guy that said, I'll always love you? What happened to him? Have you ever been disappointed? When I bought this Toyota car, the salesman, never ask the salesman, is it a good car? Ask someone else. Salesman will tell you anything. It's the best engine ever. The thing uses oil. You know what that means, hey? Every few times you've got to top up, I've got a big can of oil with me. Have you ever been disappointed? People leaving you disappointed? People promising you this, and this is not happening. Disappointed in relationships, that sort of thing. Jesus was coming to Bethany, and what was he looking for? Food. He was hungry. And what was the custom in those days? Like the islands, hey? If you're hungry, you just take fruit from the tree. You take a root vegetable. You go out and you fish. It's all there. Those who grow up on self-sufficient lifestyle blocks, you know, you grow your own things. Jesus comes to this beautiful fig tree, and it's a little bit like the fig tree I have at home. This fig tree is lush and beautiful leaves. I often look at it and say, you have the most beautiful fig leaves I've ever seen in my life. It makes a lot of little figs. It's a late season fig. Little figs like this, but they never grow soft and they never ripen. And every year, I'm so disappointed. I've given it sheep tablets. I've taken advice. I've put a net over it. I've put lime into the root system and dug it in there to make sure that the next season it would be different. But it's always the same. A big disappointment. Guess what I'm thinking? What do you think I'm thinking? All that space you're occupying, what am I going to do after this season? There's going to be a plum tree. There's going to be something else. But I've had it with you. And Jesus comes and he's drawn and he's mesmerized by the leaves and the beauty of the fig tree. And he walks up to the fig tree and he's looking for food. Guess what? Nothing. And you know what he does? He curses the tree. And the disciples are looking in astonishment. Because when you read further on in the next little section of Mark 11, it says, the next day when they came past, the tree had withered and it was dead. But there where Matthew was reading, there's a very significant text, a very significant words, and it says, it was not the season for figs. So how could Jesus expect figs if it's not yet the season for figs? Why was he disappointed? You know, I think Jesus was thinking of the Jewish people, really. When you look at the next little section and he talks about faith and their experience, it's very clear to me that he was looking at people who were looking so good and they were so inviting and they were so mesmerizing in what they presented. But when you dug into their lives, there was no fruit, no kindness, no love, no grace, no mercy, no peace, no quiet. And Jesus, the Master, is disappointed because he's been nurturing these people for a long, long time. In fact, generations. And he's coming to this earth with a special, distinctive message. And he wants them to carry it to the world. And he looks into their lives. And it's empty. He's disappointed. And by doing that to the tree, he's demonstrating how he feels. When I read this, I felt Anton. How many times have people come to you and sat in your shade, drawn by your smile and your nice ways, but they left hungry? God, forgive me. Because my expectations were different. I had other agendas, other priorities, and I had neglected the fruit that should be shared. I have an incredible section from Desire of Ages to share with you today, and maybe a little story about Jerome. I think Don knows him well. I'll just skip this one a bit. Not only does he say, I want to see fruit, but I want to see Jewish people, church believers, I want to see fruit in all seasons of life. And this one struck me. Because I have never thanked God and praised him with music and prayers and songs when things went bad. When I went to the doctor and the doctor said, someone shared with me today and said to me just a few minutes ago, the doctor told me to get my things in order. I'm not well. Do you go on your knees and praise God? I have this bad habit of only praising God when it's going well. When I come to Masterton Church and I receive a beautiful basket like that, praise God for these people. What about times when things went really bad? Pain, death, loss. They called me Friday night on my way. I was in Hawke's Bay to preach September the 27th, I think. In the middle of the night, they said, Anton, your mom's just dropped dead in South Africa. Did I fall on my knees and praise God? Did I go singing down the corridors? My boyfriend just left me, praise God. My car's just seized up, praise God. And you know what God is saying? What Jesus is demonstrating? By looking for figs in the wrong season, he's saying to the Jews, I expect that you will start bearing fruits, and also that you will bear fruits in all seasons, even while the Romans are oppressing you, even when you're far from home and you're longing for your family, even when you feel broken, isolated, and abandoned, even if you feel anxious and fearful, even if you worry about the future, even if you're lonely as and you go to bed at night and tears run over your cheeks, even if you feel nobody understands me and your parents come from a different planet, you know what Jesus wants? Fruit. And one of that fruit is joy. And joy means praise in all seasons. But Jesus, Master, It's not the season for figs. How can you be angry at the tree? Well, I'm expecting that you guys will start bearing fruit in all seasons of life. Amen? How do we do that? How do we bring that difference into our lives, into our relationships? How do we get to a place where somebody says, something's happened to you. You are contagious. You've been touched by the virus of Jesus Christ, Yeshua of the Bible. How does that happen? All right, pray for a change from existing under the influence of an internal self monologue or the script. Do you talk to yourself? Oh, that's me again. Stupid. Why did I should have known. Do you do that? Then you're normal. By the way, let's talk about normal. Have you noticed when you visit somebody in hospital connected to a heart monitor and you look on the screen and it goes like, is that a good sign or a bad sign? They're alive. What if it goes like this? Bad sign. So many people think the Christian life is just like smooth, eh? When I've accepted God, it's smooth. If you come to me and say, Pastor, I have the best Christian experience. It's just a dream. It's a holiday. It's, you know what I say in my mind? This brother's dead. It can't be. We have to have this, right? All the seasons of life. And when we have this inner talk, don't criticize and condemn yourself. But you know what? There's a better way to talk. Shifted to an external selfless dialogue referred to as service and generosity. You know what I asked? Who did that for me? I said to AI, you know what AI is? It's a cursed thing, man. Be careful. I said, AI, put fruit, put a good heart for me in your own words. That's what it gave me. Stop talking to yourself, but talk to God. Talk to service and generosity to others. Let your talk be deeds. Have you ever been depressed and then you walk across the road and you help somebody and you feel better? Amen. We're going to get to Desire of Ages. It's the greatest statement ever. And I want to tell you a little story. So what did they expect, the disciples? They expected this. When Jesus came and said, I've come to make a change. You know what they expected? New John Drake sandals. Pierre Cardin robes and turbans. Honda Ballard chariots. Membership to Jerusalem gym card in their pocket. And shares on the Jerusalem stock market. Soya beans and Persian carpets. That's what they expected. In other words, what am I saying? They expected to receive something. That's why their life was boring. That's why it had no bah, wow. That's why Peter stepped on the water and then started sinking. Because, hey guys, look at me, I'm walking. Look what I've got. What you don't have. Do you get the point? And guess what the leaders expected, the Jewish leadership, why did they crucify? We want the Romans gone, man. We want to be the prime, supreme nation of the world again. We want a leader like Donald Trump. We want to do stuff, man. We want to be liberating the world. We want to be on the left and the right, and we want to be shown as trusted and true leaders. But when Jesus came and said, by the way, I didn't come to give glory. I came to serve and to die on a tree as a pauper and a prisoner and a murderer, was crucified, they couldn't take that. And they rejected him. So what did they want? Give it to me. Frank Sinatra sang, I did it my way. We live in an age of give me. I spoke to my son about it. He's in his 30s. Have you ever heard the term entitlement? Dad, no, I expect that you will do the garden once a week. I expect that you will lift the lawnmower over the back gate. It's sort of not said, but it's expected. Entitlement, right? They felt entitled because they were the prime nation. They were Abram's children. They were blessed. They had a national pride. They had this identity of being the people. And Jesus wants to come and he wants to shame them by dying on a tree. They couldn't accept what he wanted to take from them. They just wanted to get. You know Ellen White? I don't know if you know Ellen White's one of my favorite authors. She writes that the 58th chapter of Isaiah is a message that's regarded for our times. In fact, in the statement and the next one, you will notice that she stresses that the 58th chapter of Isaiah is the most significant chapter in the Bible because it talks about the worship of Israel being ceremonies and traditions, and the widows and the poor were going hungry. And God said, I don't want your hearts. I don't want your worship. I want you to go to the prisons, and I want you to go to the broken, and there you're already getting the hint, hey? I want you to go to those who are marginalized and those who are left behind. I want you to change them from ignored to adored, from guttermost to uttermost, from shame to flame, from dope to hope, from scaffold to throne, from spare wheel to steering wheel. I want you to make somebody from nobody to somebody. All they wanted to was strut around in their beautiful outfits. And people were dying in the gutters. And Ellen White says, go take the people to Isaiah 58, where it's not about me. And it's not about getting, but the true fruits come when we change that mindset to I'm here to serve and to give. Amen? Jesus said, I anticipate to find fruit. This tree is so beautiful, he found nothing. And he said, then I want to also tell you, I want to have fruit in all seasons. When it's down season, when you're empty, I want you to praise my name. When you've just been broken up by somebody who hurt you, I want you to praise me. I want to see the fruit in all the seasons of your life. Amen? By the way, did you ever notice that people think, when I become a Christian believer and I walk with the Bible, I don't like that idea because I have to give up a lot of stuff. You know what the principle of fruit is? Fruit multiplies. It's not that you're giving up so much, it's that you're going to get so much flowing into your life. Amen? That's the fruit principle. When you share it out, you throw the seed out, it's going to come back as a harvest. In fact, I think James talks about it in James chapter 3. He talks about the harvest. That's the wisdom of God sown in peace. Now, here is the great one. How many of you have ever read the book Desire of Ages or a little bit from it? See, quite a few people. Amen. Did you know that the most beautiful part of that book is in the introduction? How many of us read the introduction? We read the back leaf of the book, we scrounge around in the middle, and we always forget the introduction. Look what she says. Can you bear with me if we read it quickly? and you follow with your eyes? Is it good? Nothing exists. And she talks about the law of life, by the way. Is this important? The law of life. And she mentions it as the law of the universe. Did you pick that up? The law of life. Now I'm telling you here, this is the law that puts real figs on the fig tree and produces stuff in my life that I feel now I'm growing, now I'm going somewhere, now I'm feeling it, now it's there. There's a vibe. Look what she says. How wise. Nothing exists solely for its own, except for what? Would it be fair if I say to you, thinking of the Jews and the Jewish leaders, that they are a prime example of narcissism? They sold, for goodness sake, they sold at a higher price doves and lambs to poor sinners who came to sacrifice, and they turned the sacrificial system, they decimated and desolated the temple service through their own greed. And Jesus walks in and he lifts the tables up and he throws it over. Don't let church become something that's like this. What can I get out of it? Because that's not church. And I get so tired sometimes of giving. Amen? How many of you get tired of giving? It's forever. Church is always about giving. We've never lost that, but it's a good thing, right? As my kids grew up, when they were 5 years old, the school jacket cost $3. And then when they became 10 and 12, the school jacket is $15. Now it's like, Dad, we don't wear that because it's not the right, how do you say, the right brand. Now it's $200. Do I say, well, I'm still with $5, man. I'm not paying $200 for a jacket. We pay it, right? We move with them. We grow up with them. The Jews didn't have that thinking. Their only thinking was, we want to be the best nation, patriotism in the world again. We want to rule the world, and we want to be the people, and we want everyone to honor us and pay taxes and gifts to us. And when Jesus came with something different, they didn't like it. Look what she says, the law of life. Every bird that soars through the sky and every creature that walks the earth contributes to the lives of each leaf in the forest and every humble blade of grass serves a. There is nothing save the selfish heart of man that lives unto itself. No bird that cleaves the air, no animal that moves on the ground, but ministers to some other life. There is no leaf of the forest or lowly blade of grass, but it has its ministry. Every tree and shrub and leaf pours forth that element of life without which neither man nor animal could live. And man and animal in turn minister to the life of tree and shrub and leaf. The flowers breathe fragrance and unfold their beauty in blessing to the. Can I read one more? Let me stop. Every tree, shrub, and leaf releases vital elements necessary for what? For the survival of both humans and animals. Every tree and shrub and leaf, they take carbon dioxide and they give us. They keep our land from washing away erosion. They give nest place for the birds. They give shelter. They give us timber. Even when Jesus died on the cross, it was the very tree he made that's now giving him a place to hang. Anton, you've been selfish. When you were many seasons without serving and thinking of others first. How many days have I woken up with my little agenda pasted on the fridge? My to-do list, tick, 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 tick. No one else I'm helping there. No one I'm bowing down to and saying, you are God's child, God's daughter, God's son. Flowers emit their fragrance and display their beauty as a blessing to the world. Listen to this. The sun radiates its light to bring joy to countless realms. The ocean, there it is. Then it comes to this. The angels of glory find their delight in the act of giving, offering love and unwavering vigilance to the souls that are lost and impure. Listen to this. Heavenly beings who woo the hearts of men, they bring to this dark world light. And listen to this. But turning from all lesser representations, we behold God in Jesus. Looking unto Jesus, we see that it is the glory of our God to what? To give. I do nothing of myself, Christ said. The living Father has sent me. I live by the Father. I seek not my own glory, but the glory of him that sent me. In these words, I set forth a great principle, which is the what? The law of life for the whole. Wow. You know, when I saw this, I just fell down. Everything around us has the law of life in it, and that is to give. To give. Jesus comes to the fig tree, the Jewish people. It's not giving. It's a tree unto itself. I have a question, a trick question, then we'll close. How long does it take for fruit to be produced in your life? Someone said to me, sanctification is the work of a lifetime. Well, that is indicating that it will take forever and ever and ever to be closer and closer to God. But even in heaven, we'll still grow our belief. Amen? See Christ object lessons. Don might know this person. 3 weeks ago, a young guy came to our church. Must be 24, 25, Don, not too sure, around there. Nice young man. I noticed sitting in the pew where he was sitting, I noticed from the front, he was hungry. Last Sabbath, he was back. But he brought his sister with him. And I said to myself, it's already a harvest. Why? He found something good to eat. And what did he do? He shared it. Well, if you've seen me cry, it's a bad sight, but I cried last Sabbath. He comes to me with a handful of notes, money. He walks up to me and he says, I want to register for this church. Exact words he used. And he holds out this whole bundle of money for me. So what do? Do we take money for people coming to church? Tears just flowed. So sincere, so genuine, eh? And I sat him down. I said, buddy, to come to church and belong is always free. To be a part of the family of Jesus anywhere is always free. He said, really? And during the sermon, he was again leaning in to listen. But that gesture of bringing that money to buy membership, to me, is already fruit being produced in how long? 3 weeks. Because I know what you're saying. I've been on this journey 40 years, 30 years, 20 years, 2 years. And I'm still waiting for something to happen. It can happen right now if you decide. It's not about me. It's about being in harmony with the law of the universe. And that is to give and to share. And by giving and sharing, how does it go, the prayer of St. Francis of Assisi? It's by loving that we are. It's by giving that we receive. This struck me when Jesus cursed a nation through a fig tree, which is a judgment on that nation. Because after all they knew, and all the prophecies, and all the revelations, they still had no fruit because they kept it all for self and not to share. You know, this young man, Jerome, it was like a cherry on the cake for me of all the years of ministry. That a young guy could bring his sister, Paris, and say, come see what I found. And this young couple sits amongst a lot of gray heads going like this. Because they found Jesus. The old ladies love on them and hug them and invite them for a meal and sit next to them and ask them for their name. You know what? When they get the principle of the universe putting inside them, what do? They share it out to others. Was Ellen White correct? Is this the law of the universe? You know, the great prophecy of Revelation 14. I saw an angel flying in the midst of heaven saying with a great voice, the hour of his, what? What's he judging? What do you think Jesus was judging in the fruit tree? Not how many hospitals and schools we have. And what does it say? And honor him. And what does it say next? Give glory to him. How do we give glory to the Creator? By giving as he gives. And he's a giver that never stops giving. Amen. And when we go out and we want a difference in our lives, remember the law of the universe. Ellen White's correct. Spot on. Go and decide. My life from now on is about helping, giving, ministering, service to others.
This message was made available by the Masterton Seventh-day Adventist Church. For more resources like this, visit mastertonsda.nz.
It's been our pleasure bringing you this program today here on 3ABN Australia Radio.